Broad Street Bully Podcast, talking Flyers hockey.
What's up, everybody? It's episode 124 of the Broad Street Bully Podcast. The Flyers are fresh on a bye week right now. That's not why we're playing this song. I just really like NSYNC. But hi, how's it going here? It's Drew Papsky. Got Jeff DeAngelis with me. And Doyle bringing you episode 124. It's one Sean Couturier plus a John LeClair, Leaves in a Doom style, bringing you this week's episode of Flyers hockey talk and other things that probably won't be related to Flyers hockey because not much has happened.
Take three of that intro is much better.
Yeah.
When you actually alerted us that there was an intro happening.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's really hard. Like, you start the song, like, oh, I guess they know we're going to play it. And then I put the mics on and we all start talking. It's a goddamn shit show.
Well, I just assumed that you were testing mic levels.
You never said.
Yeah, right?
We're starting. I said, are you going to start? And you're like, yeah. And then that's all the direction you got.
It's my new character called Producer Doesn't Let You Know What's Going On.
It's new, your new character called Shut the Fuck Up.
That's not what I said. I said the producer who doesn't let you know what's going on, Drew. That's the character.
We just hear the song, and then it's just like, oh my God, you guys going to talk?
Yeah.
Because you started talking over it. Anyway, hi guys. I guess there goes the not cursing episode off the bat. I wasn't going to do it anyway.
The clean cast.
I got to do that in the summer.
Yeah.
The summer, Jesus. No,
the clean cast has to be in the summer.
We'll usually be drinking during that. Yeah, there's too much hockey going on for us to not be, upset about. By the way, hopefully we don't get sued for playing that much of NSYNC on our stuff. I'm more of a Backstreet Boys
fan. If we get sued, you're responsible for it.
Do you think NSYNC's... Well, no, we're not streaming on YouTube, so we're fine.
We're not? Next week, Broad Street Bully Podcast, streaming on YouTube.
I feel like YouTube catches everything.
They do.
Yeah.
I remember Doyle and I's old band, when we had our videos up, we got flagged for an Everlong cover that wasn't even... It was us playing in a bar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was no audio scrubbing at all done. I mean, I know we played it pretty well.
And they just have their, like, algorithms or whatever,
they
right?
just had the song, and we said, like, no. They flagged it, and I said, listen, this is a cover. We played at a bar, our own band, played our own take of the song. We didn't use we didn't use anything. We didn't use a little weird fade in intro, nothing. It was all our music and all us playing. And they were like, yeah, it still violates copyright.
Corporate greed. Listen, little man.
And I couldn't do anything about it. So I was like, yeah, whatever.
I think it still works, though.
Oh, it does work. But they flagged it as like I couldn't monetize it or something like that. But we weren't trying to monetize it anyway, though. It was just a free video, no ads.
So if you got a bunch of page clicks on it, you could make ad money.
I think that video has like 600 views.
So yeah, we could have.
So
made,
we're not.
Like,
we weren't going anywhere with it.
A half a cent
seems like a lot.
Actually, a quarter of a cent. Not even. Probably a 64th of a cent, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know how that would have worked. I'm not really into YouTube things. But
I always thought that YouTube, like your video, had to get over a million views to start getting paid on it. Anyway.
Yeah, there's some sort of algorithm. And they've also made it harder to make money now because more people are on it now, so more views go up and everything.
Then there's YouTube Red. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I keep getting asked to subscribe to it.
For a second thing, I thought you meant RedTube. I'm like, what's that?
No, RedTube is something different. Look that up.
At work, though.
It's like ClipHunter or LobsterTube.
LobsterTube is good, but it links to other sites, and you can kind of get bad links. But anyway, yeah. Back to your
you know
program.
From experience.
It's an aggregator, not a supplier of content.
Exactly, but it's still good.
Yeah, no, you got weird categories on
it's
there.
It's the Reddit of great porn.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, we hit porn.
I feel like we've talked about that before.
We hit porn in the first 5 minutes, so we're doing great here, guys. The Flyers had three games this week.
Oh, boy.
If you want to talk about Flyers, fast forward another 15 minutes.
No, don't worry. We're going to talk Flyers now.
No, we'll get that out of the way early so people can stop listening.
Yeah, exactly.
If they haven't already.
In case you're wondering, this episode 124 up in here. We got the Flyers played the Islanders, the Blues, and the Sabres. And you guys want to know what happened? They won all three.
Hot damn.
And not like an overtime win. They won like a decisive regulation win, which is huge, especially versus a team like the Islanders, who's in your division. We are fighting for a playoff spot. And as we speak now, the Flyers are in prime contention for a playoff spot. So quick, real quick, 6-4 New York Islanders win, a 6-3 Blues win, fuck you, Braden Schenn, and a 4-1 Buffalo Sabres win. So all in all, not a bad showing this week. Thoughts?
No, they were, because of the game in hand that Carolina had, they were not in a playoff spot, but they were tied for the second wild card, I think, at the close of business on last Sunday. So yeah. I think they're lower now.
Yeah, Pittsburgh is up a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're just right in that spot, though.
But
right there. And we're right in the mix of things. We're not 4 or 5 or 6 or 8
They're in the second wild card spot, and they're the only team that's lost 10 games in a row.
Yes.
This season.
But I think it goes back to Hextall saying, hey, we got 5 points in those 10 games.
I feel like a lot of the times we do this, but imagine if they just didn't lose all 10 of those games.
Well, they only lost five. They lost five in overtime or shootout.
So they didn't get points in five.
Yeah. They didn't get points in five games.
Just like they could definitely, even if they got like, 10 points out of those games, they'd cinch up a wild card spot right now. Wouldn't even be a question.
True.
The only problem they're going to have is if they rack up more overtime losses or shootout losses because tiebreakers.
They can't have 3-point games against division.
To look at the standings right now, the Flyers, like Jeff had just said, they are a point behind the Penguins, but the Penguins have played 2 more games. The Rangers have played the same amount of games, but have 3 more points. However, the Flyers have 19 regular overtime wins.
What are you saying?
I'm sorry, I'm fucking. what does ROW mean? It sounds so stupid right now.
ROW?
Yeah, it's the tiebreaker.
Regulation overtime wins?
That's what I just said, but that's not what it is. Is it?
No.
I don't know. I'm just having a brain fart right now.
I don't even. Is that right?
Because you have a computer in front of you.
I do have a computer in front of me.
Road overtime wins.
No, that's not what it means.
What? I think it is.
I don't. Oh my God. What the hell is it?
This is so unprofessional.
Wouldn't road overtime wins be.
Regulation plus overtime wins. That's what it is. I'm sorry. I knew it was. I always call it regulation.
I like road overtime wins better.
That's not.
Well, that's wrong.
I think that's what it should be.
In case you still trust our opinions on hockey,
look,
the Flyers have 19.
We introduce an idea and then we clarify it.
Exactly.
So
we have 19. Yeah. And we're so fucking stupid. And well, I'll speak for myself. Also, Jeff's fucking stupid. I have 19. I have 19. The Flyers have 19. Penguins have 20.
And you have 19 yourself?
Yeah, I do it myself. I've been playing the NHL for 82 games.
Jeez.
I've been pretty crazy around here.
But the Flyers are right in the mix of things, are leading in all those categories.
There you go.
The Penguins have one more. So, I'm sorry. That's to clarify. I remember it now. Brain fart's over. It's middle of the week. I've had a rough week. All this snow. We got the Flyers, all their wins, plus the overtime win, not counting shootout wins. That way, shootout wins count less.
Yeah, they should.
That way, it can't just be a good shootout.
Shouldn't count at all.
So, it's a tiebreaker. It still counts for 2 points, but it's a tiebreaker. Sorry to clarify. Been out of it lately. Go Birds. All right. Anyway, the Flyers are right in the prime position right now to move up into those points. So, after these few games, you guys got to watch them, I'm guessing?
Yeah, yes. But before we go into that, since they're on the bye week and they open up against New Jersey, you can already count that as a loss.
Makes sense. Jersey will play their backup. It'll be a whole mess.
Yeah, they'll look terrible.
Flyers will get shut out 4-0.
You really think the Flyers are going to come out and lose that bad to the...
They
in
lose
the,
after layoffs.
The non-home stadium of the Devils. They also
lose. The Devils
lose
are actually good.
Yeah. They lose after layoffs, and the Devils, no matter what goalie they start, normally it's a backup, but they always at least get shut out.
The Devils have had the Flyers' number since 2012.
Yeah, and the Flyers are playing the next two Saturdays against the Devils. The away this week and the week after. I'll be at that home game, by the way. Look out for old Pavsky in the stands getting drunk.
Curse of Zach Parise.
When your brother-in-law gets a sack.
Andres Lilja.
And he goes like, hey, want to go? I'm like, yeah, no free Flyers game under my belt this year. Don't mind if I do.
What are you talking about?
Going to the Flyers-Devils game in a week and a half.
He was so proud of himself, and you were just not even listening.
Yeah, I did.
This is how it was like when I was talking to my dad as a kid. Hey, Dad, I hit a double in T-ball. Dad, what'd you say? Mom? No one listens. No one cares about me and my accomplishments.
I got to go to the liquor store and buy more booze.
That's what I said. I was 5 with a beard. So,
5 with a full-grown beard.
Hell yeah. Came out the womb with stubble. That's why I had to... Never mind. That would have been a gross post-labor joke.
Yeah, we're done. All right.
There's a lot of blood. So anyway, moving on. Theater of the Mind. It's podcasting.
It's like sandpaper.
What did we... True Grit. What did we... what did we learn this week with Flyers hockey after these 3 straight wins since we last spoke? I mean, the Flyers are a little bit on a roll here. Going back to their last 10 games...
Hot take alert.
The Flyers are 5-4-1, but they've won most of, four in a row now?
Do you have the air horn sound for the hot take alert?
Hot take alert.
Oh, my God. Do I have to do do an air horn sound?
Yeah.
Are you coming in with this right now?
Yeah, hot take alert right now.
Oh, my God.
I have a hot take, too, I think.
All right. So, Doyle, what did you learn? Hot take alert.
The Flyers' success... All thanks to Tyrell Goldborn.
It is true. I believe that they have not lost a game since he's been in the lineup.
Do you actually believe this?
No.
I don't think you do, but I don't know. Sometimes Jeff rubs off on you.
He did say he was.
But that his first shift was pretty nice.
Yeah, he was directly responsible for that Scott Laughton goal against the Blues.
That was pretty cool.
So
he didn't get an assist, but it was one of those.
Speaking of true grit, he brings it to the lineup.
A lot of sandpaper in that lineup.
A lot of sandpaper in that lineup.
He plays your typical Flyers hockey, you know, gets out there, drops the gloves, lays the hit, sets up the play, makes room for his teammates, and doesn't give a shit what you think about him.
He's actually pretty fast, too.
His grit replaces Dale Weiss looking like a horse with peanut butter in his mouth.
Oh, my God. There's a great picture I got to show you guys of Dale Weiss.
I'm surprised you didn't say dog wearing shoes. That was the first time you came up with something new. New year, new Jeff.
I like to mix it up.
Yeah, do you like to mix it up?
Yeah.
Speaking of mixing it up, Gulberg likes to mix it up, too, when he's laying hits along the side of the boards into the bench.
He's good at fighting. He's like Brandon Manning in that regard, and I don't know how they're both going to have a spot on this team.
Brandon Manning, good at fighting.
Brandon's like, get off this team, Tyrell. You stole my niche. Son of a bitch.
Yeah, so going back. The Islanders game, I do want to talk about more, but the problem is.
Doesn't this look like an emo Dale Weiss?
Oh, my God, that does look like an emo Dale Weiss.
Oh my!
Screenshot that and we'll put it on the Instagram.
Did someone say that wasn't emo Dale Weiss, or you just found that picture and thought it was emo?
Someone said it was. This is what Logan Paul looked like in high school.
Oh, the Logan Paul YouTube star.
Yeah, and then someone else retweeted it and said, this looks like an emo Dale Weiss.
All right, if you're listening to this right now, go to at the BSB podcast on Instagram and you'll see emo Dale Weiss.
Yeah, so that's not tweet of the week, but it was runner up and it's making it right now because I didn't see it. Can you tell we're doing show prep this week, people? We are moving right along here. It's been a busy week.
Yeah, we talked about Dale Weiss, and that hit the hair trigger for me to bring that back up.
But all right, so what were you saying before we got sidetracked by emo Dale Weiss?
It was pretty great, all the goals that happened on during the Islanders game. The Flyers exploded in the second period. They had 4 goals in that period that Islanders won that carried them the rest of the game. That was great to see Provorov get 2 goals in that game.
Right.
It's Simmons get a 1. Raffle got 1. And Konechny getting involved in the mix there. And I mean, the Islanders put it on late in the third.
Right. So the problem
was very close to having a hat trick.
Yeah.
The problem the Flyers are still having is that they turtle in the third period, and they're not good enough to do that.
I would say yes, but I think over the Blues and Sabres game, they kind of.
Well, they just power punched them right in the dick.
I think in the Sabres game that. I think in the Sabres game that happened. But I feel like the Islanders and Blues, they played pretty well.
They still kind of, it's like weird because they default to it in certain situations.
The Sabres game, they didn't turtle. They scored 2 third period goals.
Then it was the Blues game.
The Islanders game, they turtled. They let up
the
2
Blues
goals.
Game, they definitely turtled then for a very long period of time.
I mean, Paul Stastny opened up the third period with a goal quickly, but Simmons scored, then Parayko scored, then Couturier scored empty net at the end.
Yeah, but there was like a good like 3 or 4 minute period of time where they were just hemmed in their own end.
Yeah, but they were also up by 2. So I mean, I get what you're saying, I guess. But they were up by 2.
Yeah,
the whole
it's
time.
Weird because like they want to play conservatively, but they are like not good enough to play conservatively because they still make they make mistakes because they're a bunch of young dudes.
It happens to a lot of teams in any sport too. They just get a big lead. It's kind of hard to stay
they get
focused.
Comfortable. You can't get comfortable out there.
I mean, it's one of those.
Gotta
things,
be
like,
hungry.
Your mind, your motivation, like your focus, like it gets all away because like you are up in the game. You do feel comfortable, and it's very hard, I think, to focus in on that. And that comes from my experience playing non-professional sports. It's just very hard to focus. It really is.
When you're down 2
and when
or 3
you're
in a roller
team,
hockey game.
I'm just speaking. I'm not even trying.
You're thinking I'm starting to get hungover right now because the booze are wearing off.
Speaking from the mindset of an athlete, you know, there really is a lack of focus sometimes when you get these big games.
Half-elite.
Barstool hero.
Look at the Falcons last year in the Super Bowl. You know, up all those points and lose focus, and a good team, its focus comes back. God. Been there before. And that's what happens.
That was so annoying to watch.
That was so great to watch. Everyone melted on Twitter. It's going to be great. It's going to be even better to watch the Falcons lose the goddamn Eagles this weekend. Who's going to the game? I'll see you there. I'm pretty pumped.
Yeah, and they're underdogs.
I love it. Playoff football. Nick Foles, baby. Take the Super Foles.
God damn
it. Do it.
I hope so.
We're going to do it, Jeff.
I'll believe it when I see it.
Don't worry. Cautiously optimistic.
As with all Philly sports, you never expect anything and you can't be disappointed.
There's no reason not to be optimistic, though, because what else do you have to lose? We weren't even supposed to be here. We don't have our starting quarterback. It doesn't matter. And the fact that Jeff's going to remind me of every bad play Nick Foles makes means when I'm at the game on Saturday,
I'm probably not going to watch it.
No, we were supposed to be in the Super Bowl until we lost our starting quarterback.
Oh, yeah, I'll definitely text you to troll you for sure.
But at season start, though, we weren't supposed to be there.
Well, yeah, but then that changed.
Yeah, clearly. When you win,
no one believed they were Super Bowl contenders until they were beating the Rams. Like, oh my God, the Eagles look like all Super Bowl contenders. They're like, been beating everybody, beat the Panthers, they're beating all these teams.
And then Carson Wentz was
they're beating the Rams, yeah.
Hold on.
Carson Wentz was like, hold on, I'm going to throw a touchdown with a torn ACL
my
real
knee
quick.
Stinks.
And Dak Prescott matched that touchdown total on his torn ACL over the course of the next four games. So
while we're on football.
Suck a dick, Dak. Suck a dick.
If this proves anything, that should prove that Carson Wentz is the MVP of the league.
Well, so they were...
Because the Eagles' offense has been absolutely
atrocious.
Awful.
Well, they were
for the most part.
Brady missed
except
games?
For the Giants game, but I mean, it's the Giants. Yeah. Does it really count?
Brady missed games, but that's because he was suspended? Or was that something?
That was last year. So.
Oh. Well, that, did he win MVP last year?
I'm not sure.
They were trying to say that, like...
I didn't do my NFL talk show prep.
I don't know. They were trying to say that, like, Carson could be MVP because Brady won MVP and missed four games, but Brady was suspended and Carson was hurt or something along those lines.
Well, Carson led the league in QBR and
plus, he posted pictures of killing ducks.
Had the most touchdowns in the league and didn't play the last three games. So.
Right, but realistically, who do you think is going to win?
Not Tom Brady. If anybody, if they don't pick... If Carson Wentz...
Matt Ryan won it last year.
If Carson Wentz isn't going to win... And Tom Brady wins. That's ridiculous. If anybody should win, it should be Todd Gurley.
The Rams running back. Yeah. All right. Absolutely.
Yeah, the Rams came out of nowhere. That's actually a good pick. That makes sense.
Anyway, back to the Flyers. So I was like, the snow day happened on Thursday at the Islanders game.
Right.
Did they give away the free tickets again? I didn't get any words
I'm not sure,
did they give away free concessions? Because the snow was pretty bad on Thursday.
Yeah, the crowd was pretty threadbare from what I could see on TV.
Yeah, well, it was snowing in the greater Philadelphia area until about 3 o'clock that day. It was pretty heavy.
Usually they do something for people who come out.
Yeah, the one time I got offered.
Although it was in like mid-season, I feel like they're willing to do less.
Possibly.
You get a dollar off your Lorenzo slice.
I mean, one time I went, it was February, I got offered free tickets and I was watching the game. Like, we're giving away all free popcorn, hot dogs, or popcorn, pretzels, and soda to anyone that comes tonight. I'm like, God damn it. I could have bought beers and just like eat all the pretzels I wanted. Like,
yeah.
I was snowed in Levittown.
I'll have as many.
Ship I couldn't get out of.
I'll have as many hot dogs.
Metaphorically
as you can
snowed in,
and physically snowed in. It was the worst. But I got fucking wasted on Thursday watching the game.
Of course
awesome.
You did. I was Mister. I'm not going to drink till the weekend.
Well, listen, that's why I'm giving the fans the update. Technically, a snow day is a weekend. So
yeah, I guess.
So Thursday
did the work
around.
Friday.
No, because they called and said, no, we had off
son
on Friday, so
bitch.
On a four-day weekend.
Oh, my God,
so
this guy.
Basically, I just got really shit-faced on Thursday.
You don't say.
Ate pop brownies and got really, really loopy and watched the Flyers win. It was awesome. Thank God I had my phone with me to tweet because it might have been weird.
Shit got weird.
So if I'm silent during a game, I'm either really busy or I'm fucked up. So just if I'm tweeting incoherently during a game, I'm probably fucked up. Just to let you guys know.
The worst.
Oh, yeah, I just wanted to let everyone know where I was. They might have been worried about me. Yeah.
You're all like, ate pop brownies, and I don't have to work tomorrow. And I was like, God damn you.
Yeah. How do you like that?
I don't like it.
Well,
I don't like it at all.
You should be happy for me as a friend of mine.
Not happy for you. I hate you.
Lisa loves you, too, as a friend, as a human being. please
damn
watch
it.
The room. You'd get half of my references if you did. So what did we learn this week, guys? So going back to the Flyers week after our little navigation through the NFL stratosphere of MVP awards and whatnot in Eagles playoffs, Jeff, what did we learn about the Flyers this week after their nice performances in the last three games to close out this little stretch of games?
This could also
be
construed as a hot take.
Nice.
Sean Couturier is good, but not all-star game good.
Oh, wow. Why do you say that?
He's all-star game alternate good.
Yeah. He's like a backup in case people bail out good, but not starting roster good.
What makes you say that?
Well, he had all those goals. He had like back-to-back two-goal games, and I don't even know when the last time he did that, if he's ever done it before.
And he has 22 goals right now?
Yeah, and he's over his – every new goal he has is a new career high, so that's awesome.
Yeah, and points-wise too, which is great.
And we learned, I mean, I think we said this last week too, but we learned that like first line Couturier is not a fluke unless he completely falls off, but doesn't look like he's going to fall off. So
I don't see that happening the way he's played. He's been consistent.
Well, when Drew gets traded to Montreal,
that's
then
true.
That's the real test.
see how well he plays with Galchenyuk by his side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, all right. So we'll go back to the All-Star thing in a second. Just not even going to give it any mind right now. Just going to ignore it.
Told you it was part hot take, part serious.
By the way, people were saying that the Blues overpaid for Braden Schenn.
All right, so
the Blues ever paid for Braden Schenn?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, their Blues fans are starting to see what Braden Schenn really plays like when he's not surrounded by immensely great talent
they
help him.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were asking me what he plays like because I was going to answer.
But they were saying that because a lot of Canadians fans are already ripping apart the Drouin trade. Because Sergachev's actually playing like really well right now.
Right, and Drouin's, I mean, all of Montreal stunk, but Drouin's been especially bad.
So they were saying, like, well, what if we traded for Braden Schenn? And they're like, well, the Blues gave up 2 first-round picks. They just overpaid way too much for him. And they're like, there's no way you would give up Sergachev for Braden Schenn when he's clearly not a number one center.
But how many NHL goals does Morgan Frost have this year?
That's true.
You're dumb.
I mean, that's the argument. Like, he's leading, what, OHL scoring or whichever league he's in.
Yeah, what country's that played in? Antarctica? Come
he's
on,
like top
OHL.
Three, but a guy's never seen NHL ice. Could be more Scott Laughton than it could be a Claude Giroux.
Yeah, no one else hasn't seen NHL ice? Stevie Wonder. Still a great musician, okay? Great albums. Not a bad song on most of his albums. Like,
isn't there that theory that Stevie Wonder can see and he's been faking being blind?
There might be a theory like that, but I don't want to think about that because I like to believe in Santa Claus.
Yeah, because there's like that video.
Stevie Wonder is still a great.
There's like that video of
composer.
Him catching a mic stand falling, like he like reaches out and grabs it.
He probably just has Spider-Man sense,
right? Yeah, that's what I figured. Spidey sense.
Ever see Daredevil? He's blind. But he can still do stuff.
Everything slows
all
down.
All of your senses heighten.
Yeah.
If you lose one,
I guess they
imagine how a blowjob feels if you're blind. You guys ever think about that?
Did you just no.
Fart? No, I was just thinking about how awesome that would feel.
Well, yeah, no, that's probably pretty cool.
If you ever had, like, sex blindfolded, imagine it feels pretty good. But if you're blind, never got to see, like, it just, like, dude, that feels awesome.
So, what are you saying?
You want to test it out?
You would lose your sight to get a blower?
No. Oh. Just saying
there's
if
a
I
couple
was.
Pens here we can poke your eyes out.
I only take pen 15s in the eye.
A couple pens here we can do some sounding.
What the fuck, man?
Close your eyes. Tell me if it feels better.
I don't want to do that. Doyle, what'd you learn this week besides your hot take? Hold on. This is every time Doyle talks, this episode is going to be a little. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
What I learned is Shane Gostisbehere has game-changing ability.
Did you hear a slight voice crack, too?
He's good.
But, yes, he is also he's an all-star caliber alternate.
All-star caliber.
He's good.
I see
but not all-star good.
I see a pattern here between you and Jeff. Somebody's a little doesn't like the all-star rosters, which we'll definitely get to.
I mean, where's he at in points?
He's the fourth highest, I think, defenseman.
Oh, well, that makes sense because there was 3 starting defensemen.
My internet wasn't crapping now. I can pull up the league leaders right now for you. But
John Klingberg's one of them, and he's
What's his name?
Fuck.
That's like a Futurama alien. Klingberg.
Klingberg.
John Klingberg. Idiot.
Jesus Christ, this guy.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong.
I hate you so much.
Yeah, I hate myself a lot, too. You know, it's like having this in my mind the whole time.
Tell me I'm wrong. But no, the Flyers have Coots and you have Ghost, and they're both playing well enough that they could have been all-star starters, but you needed to put in important players.
You had to get one from every team, apparently, in a division.
Every team. So there's that, you know. And then the Metro. I mean, well, Drew, okay, before we jump into all-star rosters, so you know ours. What did you learn this week?
I learned that 7 years is way too long not eat pop brownies. I had a great fucking time.
I feel like I was with you the first time you did.
We weren't with the first time. Maybe another time.
Very.
But maybe I don't even
sharp
know.
Sharp hockey.
One of the first times.
Probably. But this hockey was just so much more intense. I was kind of drunk because it was like normal, but I was like, oh, my God. Like
everything's more intense if you don't get paranoid.
Like, oh, my God. The Flyers, like, the Islanders scored some goals. the Islanders scored some goals here, and like, oh my God, they scored two in the third. I'm like, what's going to happen? And then with less than 20 seconds left, Ivan Provorov scores the, you know, little power play goal after the Flyers made a nice little drew of a penalty there. I just said drew of a penalty. Oh my God, it's going back. Sorry. Yeah, so that was pretty awesome. Also, I learned that Brian Elliott deserves all the credit he can get this year. I don't care what he does the rest of the year.
Oh, he has
got
so
the Flyers this far, and he's looked great. And also, Neuvirth looked great in his first start back, but Brian Elliott deserves it all. And Pop Brownies, A+. And that's the show. I'm just kidding. We just ended it right there. Wow, that's pretty...
what are we, like 20 minutes right now?
Brevity in a podcast episode right there. Correct the Mundo, we're 20 minutes in.
So, the abbreviated cast. We'll have to have one of those in the summer, too.
Oh, one. Try like 20. I'm going away for like 2 weeks.
So do you think the bye week will hurt the Flyers or help the Flyers?
Dude, they're open up against the Devils. It's gone. Everything's gone.
Right. Well, you know, there's a chance.
Well, regardless of what happens, when the Flyers play the Devils on Saturday, they have two days off, and they play the Rangers at Madison Square Garden, and then we'll be back here to talk to you about the rest of the week. So we have two games. Next time we talk to you guys, we have
Use this theory, though.
Two Metro teams away. They have to focus and buckle down. If they could somehow get a win in New Jersey, which I think they can if they come out, if they actually are having a hard practice and come out focused, they can do it. They have two days to get ready for the Rangers.
Well, here's the thing. Are the Rangers in a wild card spot?
Yeah.
Yes, they're in the first wild
card
spot.
All right, so you can lose, theoretically, if you have to lose the game, you'd want to lose the game to the Devils. Because the Devils are already in the top three.
Here's another hot take.
Hold on. Pulling up other stats, but...
So the Flyers couldn't beat the Devils when they were in the cellar of the division last year because they always played down to their opponents.
Now they're in the top of the division.
They're going to play up to them.
I mean like basement cellar. Yeah. Like buyer cellar.
But realistically, I'm just going to ignore that. you figure if the Flyers could lose to the Devils because the Devils are in the top three of the division, so they're going to make the playoffs regardless. But the Rangers are in a wild card spot, and the Flyers need to jump them to get into a wild card spot. So as long as they get points against the Rangers, I mean, it would suck to lose to the Devils, but whatever. Yeah.
The Flyers are only 6 points from the Devils, though, too. So a win there could technically they put them within 4 points.
I know, but Doyle's right. It's coming off a layoff, and they'll probably start their backup, and the Flyers are just doomed.
Better come off a layoff than come on a layoff. That's what I always say. Took 20 minutes this week, people. Hey, we're improving. 2018, new podcast. There it goes.
You said that's an improvement after porn was already talked about. And
it was a mild touch on it. Listen, if you want boring hockey talk, there's plenty of other podcasts to listen to, not to name names.
Yeah.
And if you want to, or there's John Boric
read some
articles.
Stats.
And there's, what else? Oh, yeah, there's Flyers Postgame Live. So listen to that
John
shit
Boric.
If you want.
Boric's the fucking worst.
If you want some... cool bros talking hockey with you.
John Boric wrote
That's
more...
not us either, but, you know, I could find you a podcast.
John Boric wrote more awful headlines this week about the Tyler Goldborn call-up.
Oh, I'm sure. I can't wait to hear this. But
Tyrell.
Sorry.
While you're looking that up, the Flyers' bye week will probably hurt them, knowing that they went into the break rattling off three straight...
Isn't that always how it happens, though?
Yeah, they get hot, and then they don't play for 7 months.
The Flyers
go
to the All-Star / Olympic break / Disney on Ice road trip. They have 5 days off between the holidays. It just happens. I don't know how I feel about the bye week in the NHL. I see the good in it, but I also think it, you know, is kind of... The NHL season's always been a grind. There's 82 games, but the game is played at a faster... pace, and there's a lot more I don't know, I just think the game, it's not as much, it's not as physical as it was, but it as a contact and collision, but it's more physical on the body because of how much more explosive the game is now. Like the fact they have to get rid of head hits now because like players are coming in way more stronger and athletic than they ever
were. Well, yeah, and the problem is all the protection is getting better, and like the elbow pads are like super hard plastic instead of leather or whatever they were.
Yeah.
So now like players, when you elbow some guy in the head, they're retarded.
Yeah.
Instead of just being
well, also
like,
it's kind of like football thing. When you have that many pads on, you feel more protected. You are able to explode and throw your body through somebody or go all out because you feel protected. Like you, it's not like you are. You know what I'm saying? When you have that much padding on, you feel like more
Like you can't get hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you go out and do it, and then I mean, I don't know.
And then bam, there's a lot of Chris Pronger.
And you're like, there's a lot of wear and tear in the season, and it happens. I mean,
he took a puck to the face.
It can't be a horrible thing, right?
Stick, whatever. Same.
The only way I can see it being a horrible thing is if he's like, oh, fucking pussy, he's always playing 82 games, or he's pulling some bullshit. It's in the NFL.
Hockey these days, there's no fighting. There's a bunch of pussies.
I can see like some hardcore Saskatchewan, like you know, Molson ice drinking dudes getting pissed at it. They drink out of like the big oil cans, the big ass ones.
Right, and about the game getting softer, to bring it back to John Boric, he opened up his article about Gulborn with a sentence that reads, an NHL tough guy is born, or should we say, born, but spelled with his last name.
Did you say it's an article or a sharticle? Because I can't really tell.
And the headline is, Gulborn is shot in the arm the Flyers needed. He wrote that on Saturday.
Well, Hextall said that in his press conference.
Yeah, well, John Boric is an asshole. And was just, he Googled the name and was like, oh, right, I'm slapping together this article. I'm taking a shit. And like, I'm going to make fun of my son for wearing a pink shirt.
I found an article with a comment section audio for that, you know.
He just, it's really just low-hanging fruit.
It really should be, we should do a weekly segment called the This Week in Boric Land.
It's just the worst.
It's becoming that now. We got to come up with a stinger for it.
He just goes, I feel like he just takes whatever's trending on Twitter and then writes an article around it.
Oh, so like every other major news outlet, like BuzzFeed and all that shit, that just fucking
BuzzFeed is real news.
Puts out diarrhea.
Their pieces are very good.
As my late great grandmother said, diarrhea. That's how she said diarrhea.
I would
That's
like to know.
That's how comes out of their mouth. And all
I would like to like.
Did she also say Acme?
Acme.
Of course.
And Puerto Ricans. That's what she said.
Yeah, it's classic Philly.
Yeah.
I'd like to like sit down with like real reporters, like Woodward and Bernstein, and then show them.
Bernstein!
almost
that water out from that voice crack.
But like, you sit down with like real reporters, and you show them BuzzFeed, and be like, they call this like an article or a piece, and it's like 25 pictures to remind you of the 90s.
They've actually gotten better with that. They don't just do pictures anymore. But that's what
Yahoo does
out
that shit do. It's like an article to click on, and then it's just like a 3-minute video. Yeah, it's like what? Can't you fucking write something?
You didn't
like
write shit.
Like when they had the video, but they also have like the article under it.
Yeah,
so you can watch both, and like the video covers like the story. And, like,
well, CSN Philly does that now.
Are quoted in the article. Yeah, like
CSN
that.
Philly does that now because like people don't fucking read because reading's for nerds.
Yeah, well, if you're eating Geno's for breakfast and sweatpants and scratching your dick, you don't want to. You can't drip cheese on your keyboard. You're gonna sit there and watch it over it and get the cheese.
Trying
on your
to figure out which wife beater's the cleanest.
Yeah, exactly. They're fucking morons in this. I mean, it's what happens in any city though. Just there's so many people around here, and just ugh. I don't know how Doyle listens to sports talk radio sometimes, but
oh god,
only the morning show.
Yeah,
unrelated.
And they're talking. They're doing wing bowl stuff now, so it's actually hilarious.
Oh, okay. Well, I was listening.
That's
to sports.
Like the lowest of the low, the lowest common denominator of society, right there. I only ate 20 mayonnaise filled sandwiches with cactuses and nails on them.
Yeah,
okay,
some
cool.
Dude ate like 3 pounds of mayonnaise last year or something like that.
All right, know what? Not everyone that goes on the show is a piece of shit. That guy is a goddamn national treasure.
He's a hero.
President Trump should give him a goddamn medal. Give him something, a challenge.
I
coin.
Like. Well, don't get me wrong. I like mayonnaise, but 3 pounds is fucking gross.
You like anything with the word man, don't you?
Yeah, of course.
So your character's called homophobic, Drew. Do you like it? It's pretty good.
And Keith Jones is on the morning show a lot, and he's really funny.
Yeah, Keith Jones just makes fun of everybody, which is awesome.
You know, they have call, but even that show, I'll admit, after the Big Eagles wins this year, I was just all pumped on Monday. Like, I'm going to listen a little bit of Eagles talk. You know, I'm going to turn off the usual podcast music to listen to. I'm going to listen to some of that. And like, Doc, tell me, is there any hope with this guy? Like, it's whatever. Like, is there any hope Carson Wentz going to fix his leg? It's like, no, he's not.
Dude,
but I do like some of their banter, but the callers on there still, a lot of them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, they're like, I'm like, dude, get to the fucking point.
I was listening to the talk radio on the drive home, I think yesterday or the day before. And who is it on 97.5 in the afternoons?
Miss Nelly.
All right, so some guy called in and was like, well, Mike, if you remember, when Carson Wentz was drafted, you said this, this, and this. And he was like, yeah, because at the time, all those things were accurate. But now he's proven he's a good player. It's like, what's your point? And the guy was like, I don't really know.
You
didn't have anything else. You just, that was all you were coming with.
Thank God we have no other fans that do that to us. Beck, you said that Chris Vandervelde could be a good fourth liner.
Episode 4, you said this.
But at the time,
yeah,
he could have been. So,
like, Missinelli just shut over the guy's face, and he was like, I got nothing else.
Yeah, we're low for self-deprecation for likes that we wanted to do a whole clip show of pointing out how stupid we were. Yeah. So,
no shame. You can't have shame.
I know that, like...
Shame. I know your name.
Like, Cataldi's, I don't know, like, kind of a homer, I guess, even though...
Kind of.
But, like, he's not from here. But, like, I don't know how people listen to Anthony Gargano, because he's, like, Angelo Cataldi times, like, 3,000.
On steroids.
Dude, it's so bad.
Never mind. I was going to say Power Man 3,000. I just said it.
Power Man 5,000, I'm pretty sure.
No, but I just go with 3,000 because it fit what you said. Yeah. See, it wasn't worth saying. Continue what you said.
But yeah, he is the absolute worst.
By the way, Mike Bond, if you're listening, I was calling myself an idiot, not Doyle. We're not too hard on Doyle. Mike Bond from Scuttlebuck think we bully on Doyle. I don't even know how.
Christ.
His fucking pancreas bullies him enough. All right, that's
me. So anyway, it's been mentioned, but let's talk about it now.
I think
All-Star
that's what
game.
He's addressing.
Oh.
All-Star game. How do you want to do this? Do you want to break down
First,
the
let me talk about
do you want to break
one
down?
Quick thing.
Okay.
You know how we talk
Mike
about
quick?
Point disparity, like, between the divisions?
Yes.
Yes.
The Central Conference, Central Division in the Western Conference is just like the Metro right now.
Yeah.
Where it's like
the Central
leaps and bounds better than the Pacific Division.
Yeah. The Central's always been that. It's been that way for the past couple of years.
We're looking at, I was looking at the wild card. Let me pull the division stats up so I can get all the teams that are in it. It looks to me like the Central's pretty log-jammed. 59. The top four spots are 51 to 59.
Yeah,
points.
I mean, just Nashville
Pacific
and Chicago.
Pacific goes from 60, 53 to 48, 48, 47, 30s, 20s. Arizona has 26 points.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right.
Yeah,
so,
buddy.
So Buffalo is 29. They're not much better. We still lost to the Buffalo.
That is true. So. Yeah, the Flyers are good at losing to teams they should beat.
However, the Flyers, they're right in there. They really are. Like, they're separating themselves. Not really. But from other teams in the conference, sure, the division, the Hurricanes and Islanders all below them with 46 points. So the Flyers are in a good spot, but they have to move up and keep winning. They can't lose a lot of games, especially divisional games, and they can't expect any other team to help them because every game is going to matter, as they say, the old cliches, but it's going to have to happen.
It's good that their home record has been improving as well, because that was not very good a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, they're 11-8-4 right now at home.
Got to take advantage of the matchups.
Better.
Yeah.
Because this homestand, really, the three wins in the homestand, and before that, too, when they had some home games before the new year, they put some wins together,
yeah,
which was nice. True.
And I said it earlier, as long as they get like 500 on the road and have a very good home record, that usually guarantees playoffs.
Yeah. Last year they had a good home record, but they were so bad on the road that they couldn't even, they just was awful.
And Brian Elliott got his one game of rest, so now he'll be back between the pipes.
Well, he has
Start
a whole bye week, too.
16.
Hey, man, he's a stopgap till Carter Hart's ready, so we're just going to keep working them legs.
Speaking of goalies.
Stretch those bills. Harmon Bills.
Speaking of goalies, you see that Connor Hellebuck is actually tearing it apart right now.
Connor Hellebuck is now the Jets' confirmed starter, pretty much.
I thought you said Kyle Clutterbuck, and I was like, he scored one goal versus Doyle.
Yeah.
Two, actually.
Somebody, I forget who it was on
two.
Twitter.
That goddamn soul patch mustache he has.
But somebody was like,
I was on the pot, Brownies. I was on the pot.
Somebody was like, tweet something like fly. It's a picture of Claude Drew, and it was like, tweet what he's reacting to. And somebody was like, we let Steve Mason walk in free agency. And somebody screenshotted Mason's stats from this year.
Yeah, he's only played in like 10 games, I think.
Yeah, and I think he has less than 5 wins for sure.
Yeah.
It's been awful. And Hellebuck's
been tearing it apart.
So, like, he was their starter last year, and like the Jets were like, you're going to be our starter going forward, we put all our faith in you. And then in the offseason, they signed Steve Mason, and he was like, what the hell? And then Steve Mason was like, I'm just excited to start, and I'm going to hopefully battle for positions. And then instead of actually playing well, Steve Mason just completely shit the bed, and now I bet Winnipeg's probably like, God damn it.
Yeah, how long did they sign him for? Like,
we're paying $4 million for like a 3-year backup right now, and they're on 1 year. How much that buyout's going to cost? Oh, boy.
And everybody wanted to keep him.
Yeah, I mean, not that I don't. If he stayed here, do you think he would have been as bad as he is in Winnipeg, or is the Western Conference just better?
I think I don't know.
Or is the
I think his
is the Jets' defense worse?
He's
like, I don't
always
know.
than our defense.
Have. Oh boy, dude! I just think his confidence has been shot. I think all three of us defended him pretty.
Yeah,
we were pretty adamant about defending him while he was here, and for good reason. It wasn't just because we liked the guy.
Well, Dave Hakstol does this, doesn't want to pick a goalie nonsense, and it's just like, all right, well, so
he doesn't
want to
pick a goalie, but he picks a goalie.
Right, yeah. Well, he'll say he doesn't want to. But
well, he's
Mason...
given Neuberth 3 years, to be fair. 2.5 seasons.
Mason got
hurt.
Tired of it, so.
Well, yeah, Neuberth's MO has always been get hurt for extended periods of time.
And also, Mason would have wanted more money. He knew this was one of his last contracts. He's going to sign. It's worth anything.
Yeah, because Elliott and Neuberth are signed for, what, like $1 million more than Steve's making right now, I think?
Yeah,
something like that.
It's like combined, like, maybe... A million more, a few hundred thousand.
Gives the Flyer that cap space they've been looking for.
After this, we said it before, after this season, this is going to be a great offseason for cap space.
Yes.
Signed Thomas Vanek. I want to keep pushing.
Dream come true.
It's gonna happen. I'm like, God damn it. I'm gonna be like, I was kidding. Ron Hextall, do you listen to this? I was kidding. I don't. Maybe in 2010, maybe for a little playoff run.
It would
run.
Be so awesome. They saw. Oh, that sounded
God,
really
dude.
Wet.
Go wipe.
What happened?
Sat on some ducks. Anyway, all-star roster.
They could pick up Matt Molson off of
waivers.
Yeah, he just got put down.
All-star rosters. The only Flyer to make it.
To clarify, your boy Steve Mason makes $4.1 million a year.
Okay, that's a
that's
lot
like
of money.
The same.
It'd be really bad.
That he was getting paid. Here,
meanwhile, Elliott makes $2.5 million.
Yeah.
And Norbert makes 2.25. Yeah. So they basically, they're
right, they kind of wash out. But the Flyers are getting better play from both of them.
Yeah.
That's
what happened.
Shaky knees, Norbert, or whatever it was. A lower body injury.
Me faint during a game.
Flu face.
Yeah.
Flu face, Norbert.
I'm going to fall over.
So the Flyers' only all star candidate, Claude Giroux. Thoughts?
He should be.
Yeah.
Right, he's playing well, but do you think, like, if they were going to pick one person from the Flyers, Giroux's been to, like, I want to say this might be his fifth?
Yeah, okay. I think so.
Right now? So, like, maybe give it to
He went
maybe give
20,
it to
Kuder. It was, okay. Like, 2011, he went as a right wing, and then he went, I think, 14, 15, and 16 or something like that.
Claude Giroux is third in the league in points.
Yeah.
He's played in all the games so far. He has 52 points, and, like, I mean, come on, man.
Right, but I think, like, the emergence of Sean Couturier, like, we all knew Giroux's good. Well, apparently, not everybody from Twitter last year, but we all knew Giroux was good. But Couturier really burst out this year, so I thought that maybe,
he did, but
maybe
but
G
I
turns
think
it
Giroux
down.
Has more
they
league,
picked,
league appeal.
Well, yeah, they picked the right guy, but they all, the other, I feel like the other choices they made for the roster, you can definitely argue.
Well, so the rest of the Metropolitan Division is Crosby, who has said that he's going to drop out because he doesn't feel that he's played up to all-star level. But you know he got in on name recognition.
This will be Drew's, just to clarify what Doyle said, he was right. This will be his fifth all-star game, 11, 12, 15, 16.
All right, so you have Josh Bailey getting in from the Islanders. That's his first game, and he's had a pretty decent year. I think he was hurt, though, going into the bye week, so I don't know if he's going to play, but probably. And also from the Islanders, Tavares, big name, no surprise. Crosby, we mentioned. Taylor Hall from the Devils, that's a huge one because the Devils are actually really good.
Yeah,
and
he's
the Oilers
been playing
are probably
really well.
Super regretting that trade. And then Ovechkin is the last forward. So it's a lot of name recognition. I think Ovechkin's having a good year. I don't really look at his stats.
I feel like you could argue Josh Bailey definitely because you get Tavares.
Yeah. I mean, Josh Bailey's having a really good year, but he's also playing alongside Tavares. So, like, it's kind of the thing.
Like, that, their whole first line is, like, I mean, I think Anders Lee is like a backup.
Yeah. And then for defense, the three that were picked were Noah Hanifin, Seth Jones, and Stroker Ace.
Who is known to people that aren't fans of the show or listen every week.
Chris Letang.
Okay, just make sure.
Just say his name next time.
Chris Letang, I don't know.
Oh, wait, real quick.
Do you think
Doyle,
he should have made an all-star?
Hot take alert. I want to ask you one quick
question.
Boy.
Oh, boy.
I want you to be fully honest with me, Doyle, okay? I don't need you to bullshit around the beat. So, Doyle, hot take. How do you feel about Jeff's nicknames?
Oh, my God.
Like Stroker Ace and the like.
0 out of 10.
It's been a hot take.
100% of the time, they suck every time.
Hot take by Doyle. Okay, I just want to make sure. Anyway.
At least I'm consistent, you know?
My shit will not be later. So back to your... Ah, shit jokes.
So Hannifin
Bring
Jones,
it in the new year.
Why do you listen to this show? Ask yourself. Do you hate your wife? Do you hate your kids? Do you hate both?
Hannifin Jones and Chris Letang. Do you like the picks? Do you think anybody else could have been replaced?
I think Seth Jones. Seth Jones and Letang
well,
should
Seth
be
Jones,
replaced with.
Seth Jones makes it in because Columbus literally has no one else.
Yeah. But I think Carlson and Gostisbehere are better than Jones and Letang.
Right. And, like, so Pittsburgh already has Crosby going. I don't think you need Chris Letang. I think you could have sent Carlson. But then if you sent Carlson, Ovechkin's already going, and Holtby is one of the starting goalies.
You could have sent Shane Gostisbehere.
You could have. Ghost having a really good season, too. But, like,
Lundqvist is, I think, playing, too. Right?
Lundqvist and Holtby are the two goalies. Yeah. So, like, yeah, it's questionable. Like, they had to throw somebody in from Columbus. Well, I mean,
he's an alternate.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, we'll see. We'll see who drops out and who gets added based off of. Because, like, I feel like if Crosby drops out, then who would be next?
Just saying.
I think Coos has a good shot of making it.
I don't think there's another. Is there another center on the backups?
I didn't look at the. I only have the starter list in front of me.
Shane Gostisbehere is tied for fourth. For a points by defenseman, he's played three to four less games than all the guys in front of him.
Yeah.
Just saying.
I think he was making a good argument to get in.
Yeah, Couturier is the only center.
I think Shane Gostisbehere, he's one of those guys that like he would make an all-star game because he would make it exciting.
Right.
He's the kind of player you want. He's three on three. He's bred for it.
Noah Hanifin is a good choice. He's really good in Carolina.
Did P.K. Subban make it?
P.K. Subban would be coming out of the Central Division, and he did make it. But he's also like
he's a captain.
He's like Crosby. He's one of the faces of the league, so of course he's going to make it. You know?
You know who else
and
I probably would have chosen?
Carlson, Hedman, and Klingberg made it. Did Drew Doughty make it? Did Brent Burns make it?
Drew Doughty and Burns made it.
Erik Karlsson did not make it. Though,
so the Pacific Division, you have Doughty and Burns made it, and then the fourth defenseman that they had to put in because Arizona literally had nobody else going, Oliver Ekman-Larsson made the team with a, what, minus 30, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
They literally couldn't find anybody better on Arizona to put into the game.
They should have just told Gostisbehere to play for that division.
Dude, it's ridiculous. Like, Arizona is floundering, and their best player to send to the All-Star game was a guy who's minus 30.
Well, I guess because it's Arizona. They have 29 points, 28 points.
It's just, that's, and well, you know what? Maybe they turn their season around with that Richard Panik trade today.
Yeah, I don't know.
Panic for Duclair.
Also, just looking at this defenseman scoring, like they're all in like their mid to late 20s. Shane Gostisbehere is only 24, and he's putting up there the best of them. The best is yet to come.
Yeah, he's been having a pretty good season.
Hoping.
Yeah.
After
even
last year's
his actual defense looks much better as well.
That's why they bumped him up to play with Provorov a lot more now. They can trust him now instead of having McDonald.
But funny thing is that the Hag and McDonald line was like averaging more time on ice than Provorov and Gostisbehere.
Well, it's because the shutdown pair, I'm guessing. That's like the two defensive minded guys, right?
Yeah. That would make sense. I don't think you can include Ghost in a shutdown pair.
Yeah.
Okay.
Although, saying I'm going to put Andy McDonald in a shutdown pair still sounds awful, too.
Maybe shut down your computer pair. Hey, press start and press shutdown. Okay, thank you. End all tasks. Thank you. Anything else about this All-Star? I mean, really, I don't have that many gripes with it. I think Ghost could have made it. I know I'm a Flyers fan, so I guess I'll take that.
Yeah, I get why Seth Jones made it, because Columbus needed somebody. But yeah. I don't. Chris Letang,
you could definitely say Shane Gostisbehere should have won.
I think Chris Letang made it on name recognition, just like some of the other guys did. But, I mean, other than that, I think the forwards were well picked.
Yeah.
So.
Chris Letang is 15th in the defensive scoring.
Yeah.
15. Overall, a minus 13.
So, I mean, I don't. Yeah,
guy stinks.
Just
trade him.
He's still a good player, but I mean, the Penguins are. The rumor is they're looking to shop him. And
yeah.
They're going to ask for way more than they're going to get for him.
And they'll get it, too, because some team will be stupid.
He's 30 years old.
Just trade Letang.
Fire's got
Brent
a second
Seabrook.
Round pick for Teemonen, so.
Teemonen's a lot more, I think, helps the team out more than Letang would. Locker room style and like.
Oh,
know, as
I was going to say just on the ice, Letang would do way more because Teemonen didn't. He played like 4 minutes a night when he in that cup run.
Yeah, he was more of a locker room kind of guy to help build the team. And also
he just got lucky that Duncan Keith was like, I'll play 40 minutes a night. I don't give a fuck.
And I'll hit people in the face with my stick and not get penalized that much for it. Only two
now,
games,
but the other half of that defensive pairing, if you haven't been following along, the Blackhawks are now in trouble with Brent Seabrook, apparently, who has 6 years left on his 8-year deal. At 6.825. Oh, Jesus.
A year makes that Andy McDonald contract look not that bad at all right now.
Yeah, you could say Brent Seabrook, like, won cups or whatever.
Yeah, Brent Seabrook was an integral part of the Blackhawks cup runs.
That's the classic GM contract, though. Like, let me pay you for what you've done.
He has 6 years left.
Like, if
he's
you're
32 years old.
Yeah, dude.
If you
the Blackhawks paid him because he was one of the core of the three Stanley Cup teams.
Yeah, exactly. And like, you can't blame Brent Seabrook for taking that contract.
Absolutely not. I'd take that money
either.
And run in a second.
But you can't blame Andrew McDonald for taking that contract.
And also, if you look
$5 million in front of my face,
if you look at Patrick Kane
sitting down on the ice,
if you look at Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, Brent Seabrook signed for a bargain.
Yeah, but if you just think about it this way. The way you keep winning cups, I mean, not that I can talk to the Hawks because they won three, but they also had the core at the right time. It just happened.
Yeah, but they're undoubtedly in cap hell right now.
They've been in cap heck for a while.
Yeah, so what I was reading...
Cap heck for a little while
what
here.
The clean cast isn't happening right now,
but
man.
They're in cap heck. They're in cap heck.
So what I was reading was that the Blackhawks right now are like the Flyers were in like the Holmgren eras where like they have less than $1 million in cap space. Like they're closer to $0 and they have like $1 million in long-term IR space, but like that's how they're operating. Like they literally have like the panic trade that went through. It was panic for
no pun intended.
Anthony Duclair, and it was I think panic makes 2.8, and Duclair makes 1.2. So Hawks fans are like, oh my god, we have like 1.2 in salary cap space. This is amazing.
They have right now, according to SpotTrack, they have about over seven million in estimated cap space
right now. Oh, yeah. What I was reading on Twitter, the Hawks fans are complaining because they're right up against the line.
This could be with
the Menendez line.
Yes, but I mean,
you know what? They have Corey Crawford and Nisimov on injured reserve. That's why.
There you go.
That's $11 million right there. Yeah. Oh shit! I was trying to find out why. I'm like, wait, what's going on,
dude? The Hawks. Well, you figure. Look at them. Like,
made $1 million of long term IR with Hossa.
Yeah, Toews and Kane make what? $12 million each. 11, 10, somewhere around there.
The base salary. I mean, looking at, they're making over 13, according to, but based on the cap and the
right,
way they front load with
the
bonuses,
average and hits,
they're making 7.8 each.
Oh, that's not bad.
Wow.
But they just did a $6 million signing bonus each. Helps bring that.
Yeah,
cap
it certainly
hit down.
Helps.
Yeah, the way it works with the numbers, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, and Hossa. Yeah, well, the Blackhawks got screwed because Hossa wasn't it this summer where he was like, yeah, I can't play for the whole season.
Yeah,
long term IR. Yeah,
yeah.
Because he's got like a skin problem.
I have a thing going on with
my
body.
He's turned into a chameleon. He's very scaly, a scaly manfish.
So yeah. Anyway, Brent Seabrook now, Twitter's bailed on him. Like Chicago Twitter has bailed on him. So if he hits the trade block,
they already
the Flyers
waved,
should get him.
They already waved Cody Franzen.
Well, do you think now? Hold on. Now, completely hypothetical situation. Blackhawks. Trade for McDonald.
Trade for Brandon Manning.
Trade for Brandon. They're trying to clear cap space. Would you do the Flyers go after Brent Seabrook?
Oh my god, dude, that's another 6 years when we have like 2 years left of McDonald.
I just want to get Franzen and on the same pair. I think that'd be pretty good.
Was Cody Franzen having a good year or no?
I just thought
he was playing like awesome, but I think he's
no.
His Corsica is better than Andrew McDonald.
One of the big losses for the Blackhawks, that I feel like that's understated, is that they lost Hjalmarsson.
Yeah, and they traded him to
because they had to,
because right?
They had fucked up the whole cap space. And yeah, he was very underrated. He was one of the big parts of their, like a solid second pairing defenseman.
Cody Franzen and Robert Hägglund sound like the Franzen-Hug pair. You know, even though Franzen's only Canadian, it just sounds like an Eastern European kind of name, or like a Swedish kind of name. That's all.
All
I want to say. Speak my piece.
Thank you.
Jesus.
What were you saying?
Do they still have Trevor Van Riemsdyk? No, he got traded too. He's on Carolina, right?
Yeah, they traded him. I think.
Yeah, so they traded like their whole defense.
Yeah, they didn't really.
And they did not plan accordingly.
I guess we can sit here and criticize them, but at the end of the day, they have three Stanley Cups. We don't. So, but yeah, they threw a lot of money at not a lot of people.
Well, yeah, if you give me three Stanley Cups with the Flyers, I'll gladly sit in cap heck.
Yeah.
For,
well, shit. Yeah. You gave us one Stanley Cup Finals run, and we gladly sat in cap heck.
Yeah, well, not gladly, but we sat in it.
We're going to put this guy on long-term IR, and then we're going to sign him for $70 million, but 89 or 69 of it's going to be salary bonuses. And
he's going to count against the cap until the first game of the season. Then we can put him on LTIR, and it all comes off.
We're going to front-load this contract.
And he's not allowed to retire because he signed it after being 35.
And then the NHL specifically put in rules so they couldn't get Holmgren again with the front-loading.
Oh, my God.
Could you imagine if somehow, like, Chris Pronger came back and we had Shea Weber?
Ugh.
Well, what about, what's his name from the Devils? Retired. They had to fix his contract that messed up, too.
Oh, Kovalchuk.
Kovalchuk, yeah, Russian
bastard.
Yeah,
the Devils lost a draft pick for that, didn't they?
Niskanen off my back.
Imagine if, because Shea Weber right now is hurt in Montreal, or was hurt in Montreal, and his play's declining, and I feel like Montreal's starting to turn on him, too. Like, imagine if Flyers had got Shea Weber, and, like, what, they would have been how many years into the deal by now, and he's already, his play's declining?
How long was that? Was it like an 8-year, 10-year contract?
We would have won a cup, though. Probably, I don't know. I'm just making things up at this point.
Did they offer sheet Weber before they got Pronger? Or was that
It was after Pronger got hurt.
Yeah.
They offer sheeted.
It was like, yo, we got to win right now.
It was after the Penguins.
He would have stepped in for sure. I don't know if he would have had the same effect that Pronger had. Pronger was like a once-in-a-generation defensive talent.
And just a locker,
in terms of
a locker
like,
room leader. And a
yeah, like locker room leader,
block.
Game, like somebody who can settle down games and just like super awesome shit talker.
They just needed to
throw
find
the puck in the trash. Yeah, my favorite. That's
they
legendary.
They needed to find Jason Smith again.
Well, just so they can pick a picture of his face all bloodied up, and like the coming back next.
That
season.
Guy was so badass.
Except he never came back. We just used him for all the preseason like stuff.
Yeah, then we like traded him to Edmonton or something.
I think he came from the Senators, right? And I don't know where he went after that.
Edmonton.
Was it Edmonton?
Yeah.
Well, those are Canadian teams. Anyway, before we wrap up the show here, before we get to our usual stuff, Bill Metzer, the gospel of the Flyers. He was asked to write an article for the Flyers website. They were doing halfway through the season, you know, midseason awards.
Oh, yes, of course.
But instead of doing, like, Flyers team awards, they did NHL awards.
Oh, okay.
So we know who's getting the Selke.
So, Hart Trophy, who do you guys think would be the MVP for the Flyers? And I'll tell you who Bill Meltzer picked.
For the Flyers, who would be the MVP?
Yes, who would you pick as the MVP to win the Hart Trophy to do, you know.
To That's be the... tough, because Giroux is back to his old form, but Couturier has emerged immensely. Voracek's leading in assist. I'm going to say Giroux.
Yeah.
Giroux? That's who Bill Meltzer picked.
That's all right. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Giroux's back to his team-leading form.
Yeah, he's on pace for a career season.
And also, right. And he makes a good point in his article here. I'm going to use his opinion here, but I agree with most of the time. He said even when they went the 0-5-5 little rut there, he still was an example in the dressing room and in the locker room and moving on. That's the same thing, Drew. Moving on to the ice. Fucking idiot. And
there's a separate dressing room and locker room.
He is. They get dressed. Wait,
they get dressed in the dressing room.
You don't want to see what's his name's
They go to the locker room.
Jason Atkinson's
ass cheeks in the background. Like, oh, look at him cheeks, boy.
But all their gear. They go to a separate room.
They set
the
right example on the ice while in the dressing room. They kind of, you know, he talked to the media and he got him through as a captain should. And that shows he's the MVP.
And even in those games, he still put up points and stuff. Like, they didn't lose games really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like
they did.
It wasn't like he disappeared like points last year.
And like any true MVP, he was like, listen, we're having a shitty time. Let's get drunk and talk about this shit and have a heart-to-heart. And they did that, and they figured it out.
Zach DeMundo.
I love it. Norris Trophy. Who would you guys pick for this one? This is, come on. This could be a toss-up here. I don't know.
Yvonne the Great.
No Travis Sanheim? The Great?
Yvonne the Great.
What about the guy with the game-winning goal against Tampa Bay?
Brandon Manning?
Brandon Manning.
Yeah! Man-dog!
God.
I love how Manning's become like a Blake Bortles type meme for the Flyers fans, a.k.a. just us because no one else cares.
Yeah, it's not even fair. Like, the Barry Ashby trophy is just going to be Provorov for the foreseeable future. Unless they were just like, all right, we got to split it up.
Ever heard of all-star defenseman Morin? Ever heard of him?
Ghost will probably win it once.
Yeah, unless they just start flip-flopping him because just like, you know, we got to give it to someone else, Ivan. And he's like, that's fine, I guess.
Bill gave it to... Program as well.
Makes sense.
Selke Trophy, do we need to say anything?
Scott Laudon.
Nolan Patrick.
I hit the wall at full speed, Scott Laudon.
All right, now this one is interesting.
Actually, the Selke obviously is going to Mike Vecchione.
Mike Vecchione, he won't even play defense.
Which, like...
yeah, He has he only scores, apparently, yeah. I heard. Well, he's like Coots, offensive talent, you know?
Coots had like a 4-goal weekend, and then Bergeron was like, I'm not going to be upstage and scored like 5 in one game or some dumb shit like that. Yeah, God damn it.
It's not even a true Selke anymore.
No, it's, well, it's the same. The Selke suffers from the Norris Trophy syndrome, where it's just like...
You have to put up points, yeah.
Yeah. You're a best defensive player that puts up a lot of points. Like, it defeats the purpose of the fucking trophy.
Yeah, it does. You gotta be well-rounded, I guess. Meanwhile, rookies for Calder Trophy. Of four rookies, we have Lear, Hag, Sanheim, and Patrick. Who would you give it to?
Oh, this is a tough one.
My pick is a defenseman.
Oh, boy.
And his name is?
His name is Robert Loggia. Oh, no, sorry.
Robert Hag.
Bobby Hag. Robert Hag.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton.
What about
see if
you,
it pays
Jeff?
Off. Well, you would like to say Nolan Patrick, but he missed all that time with a concussion. And he is getting better, right? He's playing a lot better. He's getting in the feel of the game. But for midseason awards, no, it can't be Hag. Or it can't be Patrick. I would have to say Hag because he's played the most games for a rookie.
I feel that's like he's been relied on so heavily so far.
He's been relied on. He's playing with, well, he was playing with Ghost for a while. Now he's playing with McDonald. And like, unlike Sanheim, he hasn't really sat.
He's been steady.
Yeah, and unlike Lear, he has way more importance, or he's on the ice at way more important times, so he has more importance in the lineup.
Yeah, and Lear's been getting scratched left and right recently.
So I would say Bobby Hag, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what Bill picked as well. Sorry, right. I didn't know I was going to be... you said, like, you pointed at me. I'm like, oh, hot take Doyle. Here it comes. I'm going to say a joke. But then he said...
Tyrell Goldborn.
And I was like, oh, switch it up. Zach Rimaldo.
Zeke Rimaldo.
All right, Vezina Trophy. Even got to argue here.
Oh.
Neil Little.
Michael Nerth.
No.
Carter
Brian
Hart?
Elliott.
Oh, right. Brian
Carter Hart?
Yeah, Carter Hart. Did we talk about that? He won the World Junior?
No, we did not.
We did not.
Gold medal. Gold medal.
Gold medal.
You win a good medal.
Yeah, those Puerto Ricans.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my just pronouncing
God.
Crazy things.
No, you get worse.
You it's my can't new, just say that.
It's my new character called Callback to a Previous Drew Bit, Jeff.
My roommate's going to kill you.
But no.
He is of that nation.
So Carter Hart wins his World Junior gold finally. And he's only setting Flyers fans up for a career of disappointment because he's never going to be as good. Because why would the Flyers deserve anything nice?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And last but not least, the Bill Masterson Trophy going to the classy sportsmanship on and off the ice kind of guy. Who do you give it to for the Flyers roster this year? This one's going to be a little harder.
Classy sportsmanship.
Yeah, you know.
The only one I can even think of is like...
Perseverance. Dedication to the game and perseverance. Fighting through adversity.
Oh, wait. Are you trying to lead us to something?
Maybe. I don't know.
Andy McDonald? No. I saw a thing about Ghost.
I thought I ate Doyle Chortles himself. I was narrating the story. Doyle Chortles himself. Being common about Andy McDonald.
I saw this thing that Ghost started a new foundation for animals or something.
Yeah.
So I will give it. I'll say Ghost.
It's a Pink Floyd album? I love that album.
I don't know. I don't.
I was going to say Simmons.
Simmons?
Didn't he win it last year, though?
Here's...
he won the Flyers equivalent.
Yeah. The Yannick Dupree Class Guy Award.
All right, so wait, who did Meltzer? I don't even know. Who did Meltzer say?
Actually, I think it's a great pick. He picked Scott Laughton.
Okay. That makes sense.
Scott, he said... Here's what he said. I'm gonna read the opening sentence.
Not a first-round draft pick?
It would have been very easy for Scott Laughton to sulk and to see his NHL career slip away after he spent most of the 2016-17 season back in the NHL with the Phantoms. However, he goes on to say, and we've talked about this before on the show, he's changed his role on the team,
right?
And he's been very effective at it, and I'd say even overachieved as a fourth-line checker. He's been very sporadic in his offensive game, but he's always seems to be pressuring the puck, and the line seems to be doing the right things. It doesn't get him to their own zone a lot, as opposed to our fourth line has in years past.
Right. Yeah, no, Sean Couturier, or like Scott Laughton is like the bargain bin Sean Couturier right now.
Stretch those bills, fire you know? Bills!
Yeah, like Sean Couturier is Starbucks and Scott Laughton is the Asian knockoff.
Yeah.
Starbucks. It's still coffee, but it's just not the same, you know?
He's the great value Sean Couturier.
Exactly, it gets the job done, but you would prefer something better.
Oh my God.
And he's worked on not skating full speed into walls.
I'm
so
sorry,
that's
guys.
That's a real bonus.
I made the mistake click on the comments on this article.
Yeah, it's a huge mistake.
That'll send you down a rabbit hole.
Let's do one comment.
Pick the worst.
Wait, do we have a tweet of the week?
I can get a tweet of the week.
No, it's fine. We just.
All right. Well, not a tweet of the week, but I want to give a shout out to the guy who helped us promote the Braden Shen is bad narrative, Ted Brown. So thank you, Ted Brown.
Thank you, Ted Brown. Anyway, it's
time for.
Shibadoo bop bop.
Comment
of the week.
I was hoping you were going to do that. Because if you didn't, I was just going to yell over
it. It's a three chain comment by one commenter. They're arguing about the youth on this team and all that stuff.
Okay.
So commenter 6A7AC on the Bill Meltzer article about Flyers midseason awards. Check it out for yourself. It's a doozy, folks. He says to somebody, don't burn out Elliot. Just replace Kellis is out there. Quit riding the youth train. There you go, glorifying Goldberg in two games, yada, yada. Here are the three comments I saw that caught my eye. Here we go.
Jesus.
He says, you probably think Lindros was the best ever year, the best disappointment in Philly sports history ever. They should burn his jersey and not retire it. Just like Hextall and Hextall's contracts and most of your comments on the up and wet behind the ears kids. I'd cheer like HE double hockey sticks when Stevens laid him out in the playoffs and finally put an end to his time in Philly. Thanks, Scott Stevens. But enough about that loser. Too much youth is going to be the downfall of this team this season.
Wow.
That's God.
He must be great at parties.
Yeah, that really.
Sounds like the most giant troll of all time.
That can't be real.
I don't know. I've seen some really dumb people.
Because if that's a real person, he's the one who's like, I don't even want to win the Powerball because you got to pay taxes on that money. It's like $440 million, really like $220.
Don't give me your tax money. It's America, damn it.
It's not even worth it winning.
Yeah.
If I'm only going to get half of it.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
$220 million can't change your life.
Yeah, that guy gets the
what an
idiot
ass.
Award.
Idiot of the week.
Yeah.
Bop, bop, idiot of the week. Yeah. We should just do that and change the tweet. Idiot.
Dude, it's just one of those things where like you can't please everybody. Like what does he want? All right, you don't play the youth. How does he fix the Flyers?
You know what?
Based off of those comments. What has he shown you that he's going to do to fix the team?
Sign Andrew McDonald.
Thomas Vanek.
Yeah.
It all comes back around. But seriously, as Bradley Nowell said, can't fight against the youth.
Trade your first round pick for Christopher Stieg.
Oh, boy.
What else?
Oh, pusser.
What else can we do?
All Paul Holmgren classics.
Sign Vincent LeCavalier past his prime.
Which... I'm still so mad about that signing because he outbid himself.
There's actually something smarter than that guy said in that comment section. We have a clip of it. Smarter is going to come out of somebody.
Free agency opened, and Paul Holmgren was just like, Vinny, $5 million. And he's like, I haven't gotten any of their offers yet. And he's like,
5.5.
Yeah. 6? And he's like, hold on, man.
I've said it before, but going into that offseason, someone put out an article. It was like, the top five players to not sign.
Not sign.
And it
Vinny
was Mark Streit. Mark Streit and Vincent LeCavalier were like the top three.
Fuck.
And we signed both of them.
Yeah. Anyway.
Stanley Cup winners, Vinny LeCavalier and Mark Streit? Hey, although man. Streit got his after he left and was circuitously traded to the Penguins.
Is that even a word? Someone look it up and let us know on Twitter at the BSB Podcast or call on the voicemail 856-347-PUCK. Leave us list
or 1-800-PUCK. Yeah,
let us know how you feel about the bye week.
856.
That's not a real number. 856-347-PUCK is the way to go. But we're working overtime, people. And this ain't a union job here, so we're gonna get out of here before we start burning the midnight oil. However, we have to end the show. We do every week with Waves of the Week, where Lauren Hart, we give the waves to the players who deserved it. So after this 3-game explosion of wins at home,
yeah, take a breath. My God.
I'm a commentator. That's what I do. Oh, my God. I'm doing my best Coasty.
God, King.
Coasty.
Coasty.
Coasty Chris, from coast to coast.
Chris Coasty.
Steve Coasty. We're going to go with our Lauren Hart Wave of the Week for the player you think deserves praise after this week. So we'll go with Doyle for correcting me. Doyle.
I take.
So you're calling a kid that's not paying attention in class. Oh, can you please read? Shitty popcorn me.
This is a hard one because I really want to pick Sean Couturier, but I also want to pick Ivan Provorov.
Oh, man, this is tough.
Well, you can pick your friends, but you can't pick your nose.
You can pick your friends, you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
And you also can't.
That sounds right.
You also can't pick two people for the Long Hot Waves of the Week. Against the rule. Three, Code C, Clause 5.
Just made that up.
Yeah, really.
Called the Santa Claus.
Have you seen the Drew at the BSB Podcast, at Drew Papsky on Twitter's rule book for podcasting? It's
Shut
pretty
up.
Important.
I know Not Drew Flyer fans.
We should make the rule book for podcasting.
Oh, I trolled the Philly mayor with that now. I didn't get a response, but I'm hoping someone saw it.
Oh,
I got
God. Buzzed.
Yeah, his
was this when
social
all,
media.
Was this when you're all potted up?
Actually, it was. No. That was boring. That was boring.
His social media handler was probably like, this guy's an idiot.
Intermission when you're high is dull. It's just like three middle-aged men talking about a sport you love. It's like, shut up. You guys never. You guys played.
I'm just going to go wash my hands for 20 minutes because yeah, it feels so good.
It does. The warm stuff. The smell. The apricot scent.
Apricot.
The apricot.
The apricot.
So, Doyle, who are you picking?
My favorite cot.
I'm going to go with... we go with Ivan the Great.
Ivan the Great Provorov. Okay. All right. With that.
Yeah, two-goal like game. They really set me over there.
And one of them was an empty net goal. Let's not get too excited.
Yeah, after, like, no one could hit it for five hours.
To be fair, Jeff Carter could have been at and won the Stanley Cup. So, I mean, Provorov doing something right.
Claude Giroux, like, missed it three times then. He was just like, fuck it, I'm not trying anymore.
He
just
post.
Gave it up.
We can't all be Ben Eager from the blue line. So, Jeff, you're Lauren Hart, wave of the
week. It lives! Yeah. I'm going to give my tweets... Tweets. Fucking shit.
You can give them right to the garbage bin. That's what you can give them to. You can take it and shove it, my friend.
Just skip them. What's your wave?
I'm going to give my wave.
I want him to give his tweets of the week.
No, Radko Gudas.
Radko Šaledko.
Radko Gudas is back. He's throwing some body. He looks like he's finally comfortable after coming back from that suspension.
I'm pretty sure
playing
he hasn't
a little more physically.
Taken a penalty since he's come back.
No, but he's been more noticeable, and he's hit some guys pretty good-like. So I want to give him to Radko for finally getting comfortable again,
Dad-co.
Getting back in that swing.
As okay. Joe Walker likes to call him.
Dad Bro Gudas?
No.
It's terrifying that he holds a child. Reads a Goodnight Moon.
I think he's trying to say your turn's over.
Shut up, I know.
Wrap it up. Off the stage. Just get a bunch of marvelous men and women to fix this waves. All right. I was going to give mine to Giroux for making the All-Star game, but you guys are calling me a hack. So I'm going to give mine to Ron Hextall.
Hack.
Hack pick.
So hack.
Hack pick.
For making all of the Flyers fans that still love Braden Schenn and wear his jersey before a game and post it on Instagram, making me crow because Braden Schenn looked like not that great in the Blues game, and it hasn't looked that good since he lost, what's his name?
Jaden Schwartz.
Jaden Schwartz, yeah. He got plastered by Giroux at the start of that game.
That was awesome, by the way.
Giroux was just like, hi-oh, lay him down.
So short-term, I think the Blues winning that trade, but long-term, I think the Flyers are going to pay off for them dividends. And Joey Laterra isn't as awful as we think when he's played sparing amounts on the bottom lines.
Here's another thing.
When he's rarely
you know what
plays,
happened?
He's on the top of the food pyramid. Use sparingly.
You know what happened last week?
What happened?
We recorded early, and the Flyers made a roster move.
They did. Oh. Yeah, we should have brought that up.
Yeah, they did.
Like, it always happens. Every
Wilborn,
time,
right?
Every time we record early.
That was the most minor roster move, but it still affected the team in a way at the time.
Like, just like we predicted, though.
Yeah, that's what always happens. Anyway, guys, I want to thank you guys for listening. This has been episode 124 of the Broad Street Boy Podcast. You guys know where to find us. We're on Snapchat at the BSB Podcast, like on Instagram and Twitter. And you can follow us on Twitter. You can check us our website, broadstreetboy.net. And we have a shop there. The coupon code is no longer active that we've been promoting for weeks.
Cooper.
So took advantage of it, but we have koozies on there, and we're going to keep you going through the season. Enjoy the rest of your bye week. Go Flyers. We'll be seeing you on Twitter during the Devils game on Saturday. And let's go Eagles, man. Let's get it up for the hometown football team. We talked a little Eagles tonight. I'm looking forward to it. I will be drunk as shit at the game. Well, maybe not. I don't know. I'll probably be crying. Depends on how the game goes. We'll see. Anyway, have a great week, and goodbye.
This has been the Broad Street Bully Podcast with your hosts, Drew Papsky and Jeff DeAngelis.
And Doyle.
Available on iTunes, Stitcher, and BroadStreetBully.net. Follow the show on Twitter at the BSB Podcast.